The recordings have started. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSO Review Working Group call on Thursday, 11th, 2018. On the call today, we have Chris Eben, Lawrence Olawale-Roberts, Jennifer Wolfe, Sarah Bocchi, Rafik Damak, Pascal Dekono, Wolf Ulrich-Knurban, and Laurie Schulman. We received an apology from Mahinda LeMay. And from staff, we have Julie Headland, Barry Cobb, Emily Barabas, and myself, Matthew Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please remember to state your names before speaking for recording purposes, and to please mute your phones and microphones to avoid any background noise. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Jen.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year to everyone. I hope you all had a great holiday and some time off with your families over the break. Excited to see so many people on the call this morning, so thank you all for joining us. Just to briefly review our agenda, and then we'll go ahead and jump right in. I'll momentarily ask for any updates to your statements of interest, and then we'll move in to discuss the status of the consensus calls for the implementation charters for recommendations 4, 5, 9, and 17. Then we'll touch base on our revised work plan and where we are, and then we'll move on to discussion of the revised implementation charter for recommendation 34. And then we'll move on and discuss the draft response to questions posed from the OEC. And then, time permitting, we'll move on and discuss the implementation charter for recommendation 22 and our next meeting schedule. Right now, are there any updates to statements of interest to start the new year? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move right on to the first item. Julie, could you give us an update on the status of the consensus calls for recommendations 4, 5, 9, and 17?
Hi, thanks, Jen. This is Julie Headland from staff. And yes, the consensus call ran for a longer period of time, 3 weeks to allow time over the holidays, and it ended on Monday the 8th at close of business. And at that point, there were no objections or comments on these implementation charters for recommendations 4 and the combined charter for 5, 9, and 17. And so those were taken as approved by consensus, full consensus, and that notification was sent out on the 9th of January. So those have now been posted as implemented in our status page on the wiki.
Great. Thanks, Julie. Any questions or concerns there? Okay. Great. Julie, could you then go ahead and move on to the next item and bring us up the revised work plan?
Absolutely, Jen. This, again, is Julie Headland from staff. And just as a note, the action item from the last call on the 14th of December was for staff to update the work plan, in particular to indicate whether there were any anticipated budget effects. So what staff has done now is added that information in and then also revised the work plan to have it starting now in January 2018 and noting those items that have, you know, taking off those items from the last year. So and those are now complete also. So just to very briefly go through the plan, I'll just highlight where we've indicated possible budget effects. So for today's meeting, we are going to look at recommendations 34 and 22. We do not anticipate any budget effects with either of those recommendations. For January 18th, we hope to address recommendations 1, 2, and 3. And here, staff notes that there's possible funding for more targeted programs and to remove cost barriers to participation if current programs and funding are not deemed sufficient to meet the recommendations. So we've noted that there. And, of course, as we fill out those that particular charter, we may have some more information to add on possible budget effects. Recommendations 7 and 12, if we're also able to address those at our next meeting, those relate to possible real-time transcription or transcription services. Those do have costs, sometimes significant. So staff will try to gather some information on what those costs may be, and depending on, at least say perhaps for a standard meeting, so we could extrapolate from there what the cost might be if the plan was to provide real-time transcription for all meetings or most meetings. So we'll provide more information there. Then moving into our February schedule, looking at recommendations 20 and 21, there would be possible costs to commission analysis of trends if these have not already been addressed by current ICANN activities. And then we're noting that we have recommendations 26 through 29 that are currently on hold pending possible impact from the GDPR rules. Right now, no budget effects are anticipated with those. And then also recommendations 6, 33, 35, and 36 are on hold. These are pending the recommendations of the CCWG Accountability Subteam on Diversity. And the budget effects would depend on the recommendations coming out of that subteam, so that is a pending item. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Julie. Any questions or comments on the revised work plan? Okay, seeing none, let's go ahead and move on then to a discussion. I'm sorry.
Will Horick has his hand up?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Maybe I'm frozen. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Hi. Thanks. Zohori speaking. Julie, thank you very much for the plan. Well, I have two comments. You know, on the first, in January, what we are doing in January. So is it realistic to cover five recommendations in the next meeting? So I'm just wondering, you know, the number of recommendations. It may be, you know, a bunch of the same kind of recommendations we are talking about here, you know, the 1, 2, 2, and 3, and the other one, 7 to 9, what the number is. That's one question. The other thing is, I think it would be really helpful when you are going to calculate needed funds, you know, for the transcription services, that you could present us that in detail, because normally, usually, people are thinking about, you know, what could be the effect. Is it worthwhile? What is the real coming on? Everybody has different ideas, so it's really necessary. Otherwise, we would need, I guess, several meetings to come to an end with that calculation. So these are my comments. Thanks.
This is Julie Hedlund from staff. Thank you, Wolf Orrick. And then to address your points, yes, it is perhaps a bit optimistic for us to try to cover both the charter for recommendations 1, 2, and 3, although those are do have a fairly close relationship, as well as the recommendations for 7 and 12. And staff has been adjusting this plan as we go along, and we are somewhat ahead of schedule. So, you know, we do have, you know, we should take the time, this working group should take the time it needs to fully digest these, you know, these charters. So we aren't trying to rush things, and we're happy to spread things out a little bit more to facilitate a more in-depth discussion. And to that end, we will then try to provide a proposal with as much detail as possible on recommendations 7 and 12 relating to real-time transcription. We do have, I think, a fair amount of information at our disposal, as real-time transcription is already offered at ICANN meetings for some meetings, and also I think the ALAC is now deploying it for some of their meetings. Try to gather as much detailed information as possible to present for discussion. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie, and thanks, Wolf Ulrich. Any other comments? Okay. Let's go ahead and move on then, to a discussion of the revised implementation charter for Recommendation 34. Julie, could you bring that up and take us through it?
Yes. Hang on. Let me make sure I get the right one here. Yep. Okay. All right. So, again, this is Julie Hedlund from staff, and Recommendation 34 is one that we have discussed a couple of times. And this is on rotation of PDP working group meeting start times. We did discuss this again at the meeting on 14 December, and staff then made some edits based on that discussion. So I'll just go to those edits and just briefly go over those. So this is in the section where we talk about the solution to how to address the recommendations. Just as a reminder again, these recommendations, this is that working groups rotate the start time of their meetings in order not to disadvantage people who wish to participate from anywhere in the world. And so we added some text as far as what is currently done to determine rotations. We note that staff and the working group leadership does an analysis of the composition of the group, that is the working group, and the location of members in developing the rotation. Attendance records are gathered, posted, and periodically assessed for patterns, and communications regularly go out to the working group to see if the rotation needs to change. And now this next paragraph relates to some of the one of the points that this working group raised at the last meeting, and that is the some of the limitations relating to the gathering of this information and also just whether or not the rotation necessarily increases participation. So in this next paragraph we note, however, staff notes that there are limitations to the way that data are now collected. Several platforms are currently used for sign-up and statement of interest completion. The current method for taking attendance also is separate. However, ICANN has a project in the pipeline for centralized onboarding and attendance tracking, although there is not yet formal activity taking place. With the proposed tool, all three of the above-mentioned data collection processes would be combined and allow for more robust information about participation patterns. And then to the second point that I mentioned about participation, we note in the next paragraph, however, the GENISO Review Working Group notes that participation is not just an issue of time zones. Other lifestyle factors and commitments also factor into a person's ability to participate. And then finally in the third paragraph, we add that staff notes that the review of the effectiveness of meeting times is ongoing and may vary among working groups. In addition, there are currently in place processes for working groups to assess the effectiveness of meeting time rotations within the limits of the current data collection methods. Finally, a potential tool may be developed that could facilitate the assessment of participation patterns. Thus, staff recommends that the GNSO working group consider this recommendation to be implemented via the current working group practices and processes. And then in the working group determination, we note that the GNSO review working group has reviewed the current working group practices and processes for rotation and meeting times and has determined that they address the recommendation that PDP working groups rotate the start time of their meetings in order not to disadvantage people who wish to participate from anywhere in the world. Thus, the working group determines that this recommendation is implemented. And then I see some notes in the chat. Chris Seaburn says, the rotation is good, but it seems we are still trying to get it right. We end up with questions that was already addressed, but it comes back. I think you're right, Chris, that part of what we try to accomplish with rotations is that we may end up having to discuss a certain discuss documents or decisions twice, so that if we have, say, part of the group attending at one time, we would make sure that that we cover all of the documents and decisions in that meeting, and then also in whatever the rotation meetings are. So there is some duplication, unfortunately, but that way you also can make sure that everybody has the same information. I'll stop there and turn it back over to you, Jen.
Thanks. Any comments or questions?
Wolf Ulrich Knobin has his hand up.
Okay, so I think my computer must be delayed, so if you can let me know if I'm missing someone. Thanks.
I sure will.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Wolf Ulrich speaking. My question is here with regards to the, what the working groups, not our working group, but you know, the working groups, who are doing the work and who are dealing with these schedules and with questions of rotation, and they are faced every time they have meetings with this question. Do we have a specific determination here or recommendation that which says that it's, in the end, it is up to the working groups to decide themselves, so there is no general rule of, well, doing it this way or that way. It depends on the assessment of the working group itself. Is that clearly spoken out here in our recommendation? So that is my question here. Was that discussed before anyway? So this is, I'm just looking and thinking about, you know, what is really our recommendation or our determination is that we say, okay, yes, we have checked all this, so there are pros and cons, and maybe this and that way, and that's it. So, but in the end, you know, I think it might be useful also to point out that the working groups, they are the leaders, well, in assessing this. So thanks.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Julie Hedlund from staff. So we do say, but maybe we need to say it more strongly, we do note that the review of effectiveness of meeting times is ongoing and may vary among working groups. And then we say, in addition, there are currently in place processes for working groups to assess the effectiveness of meeting time rotations within the limits of the current data collection methods. Perhaps we could add a sentence either in that paragraph or in the working group determination where we say, we could say that maybe in the above paragraph that the working group notes that there currently is no rule, no mandate or rule governing the rotation of meeting times. The decision for rotation is left to the working group to decide based on the composition of the membership and the desire of working group members for more and the utility of rotation. I'll say this better when I write it, but utility of rotating meeting times to increase participation, something along those lines. Would that be helpful to add some text in relating to that, Wolf Ulrich?
This is Wolf Ulrich. Thanks, Julie. Well, I think for me it would be helpful, you know, because there may be some people waiting for a clear recommendation of saying or mandating the working groups to do it this way or that way. But I think so. We cannot do that. We're just to mandate. If that should be done, you know, that must be there must be a greater debate of that. I think it's up to the to that, and if you could find a kind of formulation, inserting it here in the text, that would be helpful. I'm not sure. I would I would like to help, you know, if you come out with a draft, you know, just a draft sentence, so and then we can comment on that. So let's do it this way.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich. This is Julie Hedlund from staff. I'm happy to send around draft of some text to the working group, and in particular would welcome your comments, Wolf Ulrich, on that. So we'll take that action item to do that. And perhaps what I might suggest is then once people are settled with that language, perhaps then staff could produce a final version of this charter and send it around for a consensus call. So perhaps settling on some language, final language by perhaps next week's meeting, and then running a consensus call from there.
I think that sounds good, Julie.
And I see a green check mark from Wolf Ulrich Knobin as well. Thank you. Then we'll take that action item to do that.
Okay, great. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, let's go ahead and move on. Julie, could you give us an update? You said that there were some questions from the OEC on the status report that was provided.
Yes, thank you, Jen. This is Julie Hedlund from staff. Yeah, so the status report, although we did provide it to ICANN. I think we need someone to mute. Thank you. Natalie, can you find out who that is? Okay, thank you. All right, this is Julie Hedlund again from staff. So we did, as you recall, provide our implementation status report to the OEC, or at least to the staff who support the OEC, following the ICANN 60 meeting. That report, actually, I guess the timing of the submission of the report is a little bit later than that, and it appears that it was sent around to the OEC last week. So we did receive a few questions on the report from Avery Doria, and as you may recall, Avery had been participating in this working group prior to her now joining the ICANN Board of Directors, and now she is on the Organizational Effectiveness Committee. So we welcome her questions, obviously, and she probably has more insight than some of the other members as to the work of this group. So what staff has suggested is that we've drafted some suggested responses to Avery's questions, and I'd like to then I think that these responses really do need to come from this working group, and I think that is actually what is anticipated by the OEC, as opposed to the staff supporting this working group. So that's why I thought it was important for us as staff to draft possible responses for this working group to consider. So that's what I have in front of us today. And I should note that because the OEC really just was looking at the report last week, and that's right coming off of the holidays, it's quite possible that we may get some additional questions, but staff thought that it would be a good idea for us to be as responsive as possible in addressing these questions from Avery. So Jen, I'll just go ahead and read the question and our responses, and then I'll do it one question at a time and see what comments or questions that this working group has.
Okay, you haven't circulated this. This is the first time we're seeing this, right?
I did circulate it last night, so in effect, yes,
okay.
You're seeing it.
Okay, thank you.
Unless you were reading overnight, so sorry about the lateness, but. Been a little bit of a crazy week. So the first question is on Recommendation 16. And the question is, has the policy impact assessment, I should say recommendation 16 relates to, it's a recommendation that a policy impact assessment has to be done for the PDPs, and that policy impact assessment is now part of the PDP process and the PDP manual. So, you know, we had, this working group had deemed that, yes, this recommendation is met because the policy impact assessment is part of the PDP manual and is required to be done for any PDP. So her question is, has the policy impact assessment been done for any PDPs yet, i.e. those completed since February 2017? Has the template proved effective? If not, when is the first one that will test the template provided? So as far as staff can tell in looking through the current work, there have been no PDPs completed since February 2017. If you look at the completed projects list, the most recently completed project was the cross-community working group on the use of country and territory names as top-level domains, but that is a non-PDP activity. Wolf-Ulrich Knobin is asking what is 2017 relevant for. I think that that was, she's looking back to when this working group, well, this working group was started before 2017, but I think she's, that's a really good question. I will have to, let me ask that question, let me add that question in our response so that we understand what why 2017 is relevant. And Sarah Bakke is noting, and the PDP would have to go through IRT before implementing, so where would IRTP fall into this? Actually, I think the policy impact assessment happens when the PDP working group has completed its work. Now that's actually, I take that back. Let's think about this for a second. If we have to go through implementation, then if we're really looking at a PDP, not only that the PDP has been completed and agreed to by the board, but also implemented, then yeah, there have been no PDP implementations. Let me go back and do a little bit more research. I mean, there are PDPs that have been completed in the time frame that Avery is asking about. And so first of all, we need to understand why she's asking about February 2017. When staff was looking ahead, the next likely PDP to complete, at least, you know, to provide recommendations to the council and then there onto the board, is one that has been revisited. That's the Protection of International Organization Names in All GTLDs. That one has been reconvened, and that group hopes to complete its deliberations by February 2018, following which its recommendations will be published for public comment before the final report is submitted to the council. Staff will need to look back and see, look more closely at the PIA process, because if that process needs to be done after implementation, then there might be, for instance, IRTPC might fall into this. And here's what Marika Koenig says, what the PDP manual currently says, and thank you, Marika, for pulling that up. A statement on the working group discussion concerning impact of the proposed recommendations, which could consider areas such as economic, competition, operations, privacy, and other rights, scalability, and feasibility. Not sure if Avery is referring to that, or is there a separate PIA? That I'm not aware of. Marika, I think there is a template that, and this is actually in the original charter, there's a template relating to the policy impact assessment. That's what Avery is referring to. And hang on, we've got Barry Cobb is typing as well. The answer to question one on 16 is no. PIA has not been used. Likely first use will be, okay, IGO, CR, okay, the one I mentioned, the international organization names IGO, CRM. I'm not even going to try to parse out that acronym. Thank you, Rary. Sarah says also CLMD was implemented in August. Does that fall into this? Sarah, I'm not sure what that I'm – okay, sorry, consistent labeling display. If, I don't think that's a PDP, Sarah, in which case it wouldn't apply. Thank you. Okay, so staff will take the action to do a little bit more searching here. Okay, and Barry Cobb is noting, PIA does not apply to IRT. This is an assessment of policy recommendations. Okay, so that's clear. Thank you very much. Let me see if I can go back to Aubrey and ask her what is the significance of February 2017. Otherwise, I think based on the discussion in the chat, we're accurate in saying that there are no PDPs from 2017, but it would be interesting to know why she's picked that particular date. So anyway, I'll stop there, Jen, and see if there are more questions or comments or discussion.
Great. Thank you, Julie. Any other comments or questions from the group on that first question from Aubrey? Because I know we have two others. And my computer seems to be a little slow. If I'm missing somebody, please let me know. Okay, not seeing any, why don't we go ahead and move on to her next question.
Thank you very much. Again, this is Julie Hedlund from staff. This is a question on recommendation 18. Given that ongoing evaluation was considered impractical, what is being substituted? Okay, so this is a reminder. So recommendation 18 has to do with her reference to ongoing relates to evaluating post-implementation policy effectiveness. And the original recommendation talked about recommending that post-implementation policy effectiveness would be done on an ongoing basis. Rather than periodically as stated in the current operating procedures. What the working group had determined after quite some discussion, and in actuality, the GNSO review working party also had this same determination that conducting an evaluation on an ongoing basis was not feasible. So this working group determined that it's not feasible to implement that aspect of the recommendation. So Aubrey's question is, if we're not evaluating on an ongoing basis, how are we evaluating? And it's at least the staff's understanding that if we're not evaluating on an ongoing basis, then we are evaluating periodically, which is the current requirement in the GNSO operating procedure. So we just then are operating under the status quo. Let me put that out there then for comments or questions. I'm not seeing any hands up. I'm not seeing anything in the chat. So it would seem that that is an acceptable response. I see Chris Seaburn is typing. I see a green check mark from Wolf Ulrich. I think Chris says, I think we need to find the, okay, and Lori Schulman agrees. Okay, So let me move then to the final question, which is fairly straightforward. The question is, in Recommendation 27 indicates that the membership lists for all GNSO constituencies are available. Is there a URL for these? Response is that the URLs were listed actually in the attachment to the charter, and so we just pulled them out and put them here. However, we note that Recommendations 26, 27, 28, and 29 are on hold pending further guidance on the potential impact of the European Union General Data Protection Regulation that will be enforced beginning 25 May 2018. Any questions or comments on that? Seeing none, Jen, back over to you.
Yes, okay, great, thank you. And then, so we still have the one final question, right?
No, I think.
Was that the last
one? That was it.
Was that the last one? Okay, okay, great, thank you. Okay. So it sounds like we're going to work on a response for the first one, and the others are okay to go?
Yeah, actually, just the only thing for the first one was I think we decided this is an appropriate response because the PIA only applies to policy recommendations and not to implementation. So it's correct to say that there are no PDPs to which this would apply right now, but that there is one coming up that, you know, would be the most likely one, which we've got listed here. But in going back to in providing a response to Avery, staff will also ask Avery what is the significance of the February 2017 date, just so that we understand that.
Okay, great, great. Okay, wonderful. Let's go ahead and move on then to this is our first time we'll be discussing the implementation charter for Recommendation 22.
That's correct.
And pull that for us, that would be great.
Let me bring that up. Okay, so Recommendation 22 relates to development needs and opportunities, specifically that the GNSO Council develop a competency-based framework, which its members should use to identify development needs and opportunities. And so the scope would be that that staff would provide an overview of the available training and skills development mechanisms, and then the GNSO Review Working Group will review the current training and skills development mechanisms and determine whether these are sufficient to address the recommendation. One thing I want to note is that when the GNSO Review Work Party, Working Party, reviewed this particular recommendation, it did take issue with the phrase competency-based framework. And I have to admit that from a staff point of view, it is a little bit difficult to understand what is meant by this. I mean, there, as you'll see, there are quite a number and a variety of training options and mechanisms provided by ICANN. Whether or not these comprise a competency-based framework, it's not quite clear what what is meant by that. So I'd like to call that out just initially because since that's in the primary recommendation and it is language that, well, the review working party couldn't change the language but did call out that it was, I see Chris. Chris Seaburn says, I think it has to be something to do with people with proper knowledge of what is being discussed. Pascal Becano asks, why is EU GDPR so important to have recommendations 26, 29 pending? Thank you, Pascal. So recommendations 26 through 29 deal with the collection of statements of interest and storage of those data from the community, members of the constituencies and stakeholder groups, working groups, and so on. GDPR, and I'm not at all qualified really to comment on the rules and exactly what they entail, but it does it may impact how that how personally identifying information is accessed or displayed or stored. And here I have others are typing, so perhaps someone can help me out there. So because there is a possibility that there may be changes to the recommendations based on the requirements of GDPR. And I know that that there are that within ICANN there's also some activity to provide some guidance in this area as well. So I see others are typing. Chris says, I thought I saw a document from EU for the Internet websites e-commerce. Yes, that's right. And Wolfhard Knobin says, any kind of data collection is falling from a European perspective under the GDPR. Thank you, Wolfhard Knobin. So because we have it's 26 through 29, those recommendations relate to data that's collected from members of the community and how it can be accessed and stored, then, you know, these recommendations could be subject to the GDPR, and I hope that's helpful. So back to the competency-based framework. Do any others have any questions about, I know that Chris had said, thought it was, you know, people having proper knowledge of what is being discussed. To my mind, you know, it could also relate to the fact that we want to have training that helps people do what they need to do within, say, the GNSO, within a PDP, within a working group. And I see, Wolf Ulrich, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Suri, for always speaking. Well, we don't have an answer to this question. But the question is then to you, did you check backwards, from the beginning, what the issues have been, bringing us to this recommendation so that we can better understand, why we formulated in the recommendation as it is? This one, to get a link to where we come from. Otherwise, we should check that, and that may help, to understand and give us an understanding, better understanding of this. Thanks.
Thank you, Wolf Orsnoven. That's an excellent idea, and staff will take that as an action to go back to the original report from the independent examiner, where there should, we would hope, be some guidance with respect to this particular recommendation. And so we'll take that action to come back with that link for the next meeting, and we'll also take a look through the GNSO review working group working parties report as well, see if there. I do know that there was some commentary on this language as well, and that it was not as clear as it could be. But the language wasn't changed. I mean, the language stands as in the original recommendation. So, just a couple things from the chat. Chris Seaburn says, I'm sure there are two legal advice to ICANN on the GDPR. Lori Schulman says there were three memos of legal advice on GDPR. Thank you. So to staff, we'll go back and look at that, and thank you, Wolf Ulrich, for that. And then what staff did was looked through existing training options and mechanisms within ICANN. So there are really two categories of the training options. There are those that provide GNSO-specific skills, and I think this is what the recommendation was trying to get at, was making sure that there was training that would enable the community members to more fully participate in PDPs and in working groups and to understand the work of the GNSO. So the training that relates specifically to GNSO is called GNSO 101. And I'm not going to read the whole description here, but there are several. This is a self training online training. It has various modules. You can go through them at your leisure. So there's a module on the role of a GNSO council member, on working group operations, working group formulation, working group chair's guide, the new policy development process, and communication tools. So those are all modules specific to how one would operate, how one would participate in the GNSO, either in the council or in a working group as part of a PDP. And then there are documents relating to the policy development process. Sort of self-training, you read the documents at your leisure. There is a section about consensus policy, about the PDP, about working group guidelines, and then there's a policy update archive with all of the policy updates. So those are related specifically to the work of the GNSO. And then there's training options related to general and leadership skills. So options to help the community understand what ICANN does and provide the skills for participation in ICANN's activities and groups. There is the online platform ICANN Learn, the courses, it's an e-learning type of platform, and the courses cover the basics of what ICANN does, web skills, how to get involved with ICANN, and more. And then there is the comprehensive ICANN Academy program, originally developed through a working group within the ALAC, but now is there were some pieces of this that were piloted in 2017, but now is being carried over and will be moving into a sort of more formal program. There's the leadership program for current and incoming leaders and to help them understand the complexity of ICANN and develop facilitation skills. So these include opportunities for leaders to meet with leaders of other ACs and SOs, discuss important ICANN topics in an in-depth manner, deepen the understanding of key ICANN processes, and develop facilitation and leadership skills, focused on personal effectiveness to run meetings and foster processes. There's also the 2017 Sharing Skills Program, which is envisioned to be continued, and there's some details on that. And then there's an intercultural awareness program as well. So staff have put in a suggested working group determination, but recognizing that we need to have an additional discussion here relating to the competency-based framework issue. We don't need to get into that right now, but I see Jen has her hand up. Please go ahead, Jen.
Yes, Julie. I was just wondering, is there anything in here that has technical training? I know that was one of the issues back when we were going through this originally, that sometimes folks need training on understanding of the DNS itself and some of the technical back-end components other than just the policy process.
Oh, and this is Julie Hedlund. Yes, there is actually a training module relating to understanding the DNS, and I didn't put that in here. And I don't know, I guess I wasn't focusing on it because I was thinking PDP and working groups and so on, but there is specifically a training on that as well. So let me go ahead and add that in the link to that as well and the description of that. And I think also... I'm going to try, I'm going to try to get some more details on the modules within ICANN Learn. Because you actually have to sign into the site to see what's in there, and for some reason it's not letting me in, so I need to work on the back end of that. But because I believe that ICANN Learn also has may have some technical aspects to it as well. So staff will take the action to find out what is available on the technical side. And I see Chris has a question. Are there any guidelines of ethics on mailing and our working group work tracks CCWG groups? Because at times things tend to degenerate. I would be happy if these are taken care of. And Marika Koenig says that the ICANN standards of behavior apply with respect to guidelines on ethics. Also, the working group guidelines have also some guidelines on how members are expected to participate within a working group, what happens if there are disagreements and so on. So the working group guidelines themselves, actually, then that's a very good point, and the PDP manual are also educational tools as well to help people participate in the GNSO. And I see Chris Seaburn says, I agree. And then these need to be fully enforced. And Marika Koenig is typing. So I've got an action to link back to the origination of this recommendation and any dialogue around it. We have the action to get more information on technical training. Are there any other comments or questions people have or actions for staff with respect to this charter? And Marika Koenig says, Chris, there's at least one example where a working group member was removed due to failure to meet the standards despite numerous reminders. Thank you, Marika. Jen, I'm not seeing any more hands up or any more typing in the chat, so over to you.
Okay, great. Thanks, Julie. So we'll look forward to those updates, and then we can move forward with that recommendation. So we're almost at the top of the hour. We managed to get through all of our agenda items. Just a reminder that we are meeting again next Thursday, the 18th of January, so that we could continue our work, and I think we were trying to avoid a conflict 2 weeks from now. So our next meeting is next Thursday, and then we'll continue on with our every other week cycle. So any other remaining comments or questions before we close out the meeting today?
Jen, this is Julie Hadland again. Just a note, so we had determined that really the 11th and the 18th were the only days we could meet in January. And I think that we're also avoiding the 1st of February because and avoiding the 25th of February, January, pardon me, because we have a staff retreat the 22nd through the 26th. But then we have the GNSO Council strategic meeting, a planning meeting in the initial part of the following week, the week of the 29th, and then we have other community group meetings the latter part of that week. And so there was a request not to have a meeting on the 1st of February. So our first meeting in February would then be the 8th, and we would just have these two meetings in January.
Okay. So will you be adjusting? I know there were calendar invites that went out, because I still have mine on the 1st. So will that come out as an adjustment?
Yeah, I actually thought we had done that. Let me coordinate with our secretariat and make sure we have this right. But
okay.
Let me just confirm with the working group that I thought there was a conflict for the 1st, that there is a meeting, at least one, if not two, community group meetings. Man, I forget which ones there are.
Really, there is. I'm sorry, it's Lori.
Please go ahead, Lori. Thank you. Help me out here.
Yeah, Julie, there's the intercession. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, there's the GNSO intercessional for the non-contracted parties health, of which I'm a part of. I think Rafiq may be part of it as well. I'm not sure. He's not on the call anymore, but I think Rafiq may be part of it too.
Thank you, Lori. That's very helpful. This is Julie Hedlund again from staff. So, yes, I thought, now I remember, it seems so long ago, but when we were having this discussion, that there was that conflict then on the 1st, and Wolf Ulrich Knobin is confirming that as well. So Jen, that's why we are avoiding that, but I'll make sure that the secretariats have adjusted the invites accordingly. I see Natalie's typing as well. Yep, Natalie Peregrine says we will go over all the invites after the call. So thank you very much, Jen, and then just any final word to you.
Great, thank you. Thanks, everyone, again, for taking time for the call today. We appreciate your continued commitment to this process, and we'll look forward to talking again next week. That will bring this meeting to a close.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you, everybody. This concludes today's call. Operator, you may now stop the recording and disconnect the lines. Have a great rest of your day.